I believe the Lord spoke to me and he reminded me of Jacob when he was going, you know, to the house of Laban. It's in Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. And he said that he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and to lay down that and lay down in that place to sleep. The Bible says at this particular time, when Jacob came to this certain place, which I believe is this place, it's the sun had set in his life. So he took for the pillows, took for the stones, which speaks about what we are hearing here, year in, year out, year in, year out, and he used this for his pillows and said he slept. And he had a dream. We know the story. He saw a ladder. And that place, it was not the one that was ascending. But saw angels ascending and descending. Which speaks of those that God has set up us, pastor and mommy. And the Lord spoke to him in that place that he found rest, even though the sun was set. And the Lord spoke to him in verse 15. And God is saying the same to us. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. That is, God has given us a promise. In spite of the fact that we are Jacobs, with different characteristics, faults, you know, traits. But he has made a vow. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you until I have performed all that I have spoken to you. I thank God for the privilege once again to gather here. I believe it's a message of encouragement. It's a message of comfort. God wants to comfort his people. God said, comfort, he comforts you, my people. You see, many times when we try to walk this walk, many times we stumble. But the Bible says, a righteous man falleth seven times. Say, but Lord, we want to pick him up. So don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. But like Jacob, he will perform all he has spoken to us. Praise the Lord. Let us bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your awesome presence in our midst today. Thank you for visiting with us, not because of ourselves, but because of the precious blood of Jesus and under the covering of our said fathers. Lord, indeed you have been good to us this year. You have kept every word you have spoken to us. No bones broken, Father. Here we are. Lord God, lifting holy hands unto you. As I go into your word, once again, I humble myself. I talk under the covering of my said fathers. And Lord, you have mercy on me. You have to be a vessel unto honor. Lord God, meet for your use as you go into the word. Let your word come out like streams of water to bring comfort, edification to everyone. To strengthen our forgiveness. Lord God, to help us to lift up the hands that hang down. Lord God, speak to us as the word goes forth that we can make it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to remove every spirit of weariness. Every heavy spirit. You said in your word that, Lord God, you will give the oil of joy to them that mourn. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We are trust that you give that garment of praise to us today. That in spite and despite what we have gone through this year, 2021, and it has winding up, Lord, 2022 will be a better year. In the name of Jesus Christ, help us to redeem time to say things that are necessary as the word goes forth. Let it cause our ways to become humble, our minds to be enlightened, the revelation of Christ's life, and our emotions to be controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to redeem time not to say things that are necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, I'd like to give honor to honor is due for our said fathers, pastor and mommy, for their patience and long suffering over each and every one of us. You see, if not for the mercy of God that brought all of us into this place, this certain place, I will not be here today. I will not be here today. As I sat down, I said, Lord, of all the goodness you have given me, I don't deserve any of it. But I thank God for everybody. Thank God for the father of the house, for their patience and the long suffering. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. The title of my message, please keep playing that song. As I the first one or the first song that the choir sang. You know, I want us to be an atmosphere of worship. Let's reverence the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that as we share the word, there will be comfort. The Bible says that these things were written that through faith and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. God wants to give us hope for the coming year. Praise the Lord. Please keep playing it so I can hear it, so I want to be calm. The title of my message this afternoon is Having a Quick Understanding of the Fear of the Lord. Let's say together, having a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. I think it was last week that Pastor was sharing about increasing in the fear of the Lord. So I think I got home a day after and I was going to pray. As I went on my knees, the Lord spoke to me and said, a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. Immediately I knew what he was talking about. I knew the scripture that he whispered to me. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah 1 verses, Isaiah 11, from verses 1 to 3. You see, it's a message of hope. It's a message of encouragement. When most times when we talk about the fear of the Lord, it's true, there's an aspect of severity. I say, behold the goodness and the severity of God. But you see, it is that goodness that keeps us, that takes us like you took Moses and hid him behind the rock, so that, Lord, the other side of God will not consume him. As I continue, so we need the goodness of God. I say, by his mercy we are not consumed. God loves us so much, folks. He loves us so much. And it is out of that love, when we understand the love that God has for us, we reverence him. It's because we don't know how much the love of God is, that's why we don't give him the honor that is due to him. I'm not justifying sin. But see, I believe that God will open up our eyes, that when we know the love of God that the Bible says that passeth all understanding, we begin to reverence him. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 11 verses 1 to 3. Let's read. This, we pray this every day, like Pastor has taught us. So, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Next verse. And let's read together. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, what is this seven spirits of God supposed to do? We have been praying it. We set loose angels with the seven spirits of God. Next verse. This is what it's supposed to do in our lives. Next verse. Okay. And shall make him of what? Say, quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his eyes. That is, he will not judge by what he sees. You see, those things that Pastor has taught us, that we pray every morning, you know, and that they pray in the good morning, Jesus, you know, is supposed to make us to be of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because I believe that the coming year, you see, no matter how tumultuous it may be, if we can practice what we have been taught and begin to honor God and reference him, you see that what seems impossible, God will make it possible as we continue. Now that word, let's look at it in Amplified, verse 3 in Amplified Bible. Let's just quickly read as we continue. Please, let's keep our hearts meek and lowly so that God can speak to us. And shall make him a quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither the sight by the hearing of his eyes. That is, he will not judge by the natural, what is hearing or what is seeing. I say, why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. But the things that are seen are temporal. Those things that are not seen, that purpose that God has for you to be like him, those are the eternal things that will come to pass in our lives. I checked that word in Hebrew that says quick. Let's say quick. It's a Hebrew word called ruach. I may not get the pronunciation correctly, but it's ruach, R-O-A-C-H. And it means to smell. Say to smell. To scent. To perceive what pleases him or displeases him. That is to perceive. God wants to begin to perceive the fear of God, So when you are doing something or you are in a place, you perceive that I don't think he likes this thing. You just perceive. And once you perceive, you are quick to repent. Quick to judge yourself. I didn't say condemn. And then quick to obey. Praise the Lord. All right, Lord, help me. So what is the fear of the Lord? The pastor taught us. It is an awesome reverence for God and his glory based on the evidence of his awesome wisdom and power as seen in creation. That's the definition the pastor gave us last week. And he mentioned from Psalms 19 verse 1. But the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every person, born again, not born again, they are fearfully and wonderfully. That is, when God was going to make Adam, he was very tender. Can you imagine all the nerves, all the things? He was doing it delicately. And he did not make any mistake about anybody. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? But you see, there's an aspect of the fear of God. It's when Moses saw him at the burning bush. Are you getting me? God told him, he said, remove the shoes off of your feet, for where I stand is holy ground. But you see, when he saw him on Mount Sinai, it was different. That's why we need to know God. His goodness is what makes him to humble himself, to condescend to a low estate. But you see, when Moses saw him on Mount Sinai, like Hebrews 12:21 says, Bible says, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's another side of God that none of us has ever seen. When Moses saw him come down with fire and everything, he was afraid. It was Paul that recorded this. It was not recorded in the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, the Bible just said, when God came down, and the trumpet was sounding, that and Moses spoke to him. This is what Moses said. I exceedingly fear and quake. What is what I want you to see about this God? With all the glory, with all the majesty, he called him. He said, don't be afraid. Come. That's God's goodness. He said, come, don't be afraid. Even though the others were afraid. God doesn't want to make us to have morbid fear like Satan. But in spite of that glory, he said, come, don't worry, come, don't be afraid, come. So Moses, that's where he went up. The same thing with John. He had been with Jesus Christ. He had walked with him, they ate together and everything. When he saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he said he saw his hair like what? Wool. Eyes like a flame of fire. Feet burning as brass. He said he fell down what? Dead. Just like Moses. But look at God again. I'm talking about the goodness of God. We are talking about being quick in understanding the fear of God. And it's in spite of that glory that we cannot ever fully comprehend and describe. The Bible says he touched him and said, stand upon your feet. Same thing with Isaiah. We call Isaiah the dean of the prophets in the Old Testament. He had been serving God, doing everything. God had been speaking to him. When Isaiah 6, when God appeared, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his throne filled the temple. And so the angel said, holy, holy, holy. And he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he said, I don't want to waste time. But you know what happened instantly? The goodness of God came into operation. So he sent an angel, he took the coal, and then he cleansed him. He said, I've cleansed you. Immediately he said, Lord, send me. Here I am. Send me. What am I saying? When you talk about the fear of the Lord, there is that aspect of the fear of the Lord. But his goodness is what enables us to come to enjoy fellowship with him. That's what I want us to see. That is in spite. I'm not condoning sin, please. I'm not condoning character faults. But I'm magnifying the goodness of God. I'm magnifying the mercies of God. It's when I begin to magnify his mercy and his goodness. The Bible says that there's a scripture. Help me. It says that, yes, I remember. It says, if the Lord who search iniquity, who can stand? What does the second side say? Say, boy, there is what? Forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Put it on the board. He said, if the Lord shall search iniquity, though ye you cannot stand. He said, but there is forgiveness with me, that you may fear. So when I look at what I've done in my past life, I look at what I'm doing currently, that is not, please, I'm not condoning sin. Please, understand. And he forgives me. He says that I may fear. God. He said, well, you can forgive me, sir. He said, yeah, forgive me. He said, you too, go and forgive as you have been forgiven. That's why he said that, be ye merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Praise the Lord. As we continue, so it is the instruction, like Pastor taught us, of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33. Say, it is the instruction of wisdom. Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, the question I'm asking you, everyone, including myself today, is how quick are you and I in understanding the fear of the Lord? How quick are we? When God says something, do we delay? I thank God for his goodness, but you see, God is moving us to that place that we have quick understanding in his fear. And why do we fear him? One of the reasons is this. You look at what he has forgiven you of. Say, that must be feared. Check where you can still forgive me. I'm not saying go and sin, no. Please, I keep saying it. So, the answer is this. It is shown in the degree to which we are quick to say reverence him, the things of God, and how quick we obey his instructions. It is having an understanding of the certainty of his judgment and chastening when we disobey, and the security of his mercy when we obey. When God chastens us or he corrects us, it's not because he hates us, but it's because he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. If you have a child and does something wrong and you beat the child, if a child does not understand that his father loves him, he will be offended. He will be angry. And many times that occurs to us because you don't know God. But when the child grows up and he looks back and says, thank you, Father. I'm grateful. Now understand why you did what you did. Are you with me? So it's very important for us to know that. That's why the Bible says that presently in the world, there's no fear. Reverence for God, both in the church and in the world. But let's leave the world alone. But let's talk about ourselves. That reverence for God, when you look at his creation, and you marvel, this great God that created the universe that is still expanding, he left everything to come and die for me. That's what Jeremiah saw. That song that we sing, Ah, Lord God. It was, that's what he said. He's going to say, Ah, Lord God. He saw it by revelation. That has made the heavens and the earth. You know, he said, there is nothing too difficult for you. We need to see who God is. I'm trusting that Lord will help us as we continue to know that he's our Father and to give him the honor that is due unto him, to reverence him. I'm not going to say things. I'm trying to avoid giving examples. I don't want to be under condemnation. So you know, okay. But, you know, when you start reverencing God, you see a transformation in your life. His presence will come down. Praise the Lord. Like Pastor and Mommy shared the other time, they spoke about a time of Noah and a time of Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. We are in that time now in the world. What do I mean by that? I put it in summary. It is a time of distraction from purpose and destiny. Say, it is a time of distraction from purpose and destiny. If we read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, Lord Jesus Christ says something. He said, take heed to yourself. It's the same thing he was talking about in the end time. And when he quoted the time of Noah in the book of Matthew and Luke, he was talking about the distraction. He said they were marrying, giving into marriage, you know, and all that. There's nothing wrong with getting married. Let me ask you a question. Did Noah's children go in with their wives? Didn't they? That means they got married in the time of Noah. But Noah did not allow it to distract him from purpose and destiny. So we're not saying that people should not get married. We're not saying that if you're invited to a place, don't go. But don't let those things become a distraction that will now overcharge your heart with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this world. Say, let that day come upon you on their way. I say, for like a trap will it come upon them that dwell upon the earth. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're talking about. That's what God wants you to do. I don't have time to turn to that. I already mentioned it. It's in Matthew 24, verses 37. He's talking about the time of Noah. But again, what I want you to see is this. It's like Pastor said someone that's closing that message. He said that, we sang one song, I made you too small in my eyes. Don't say you cannot keep God's instructions. You can. I don't care whether I failed. He said 49 times, 7 times, 490 times in a day. Get up again. Start again. It is not over until it's over. We are talking about Enoch earlier on. Enoch, if he had given up at 64 or 64 years and 6 months old, that would have been the end. But yeah, God was long suffering and was patient with him until he made it. We are all going to make it in Jesus' name. So even though the fear of God is not the eyes of the people of the world, but God wants to have that quick understanding of his fear. So I put it as a, but it was in the midst of this distraction that Noah built the ark. So it was in the midst of all the ongoing distraction. No seas and waves roaring, coronavirus, whatever, Omicron, that he built the ark. And where that sets time now. And what God is saying that he wants us to build the ark. Let my Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, 7. It's very important. I want to take Noah as a type and see in the midst of all the destruction that was coming against him. In his second verse, God saw that the imagination of man was evil continually. That is exactly what is going on. That pastor was sharing the other day. He said that even, he said, truth is falling in the streets. That if you are trying to do the right thing, you become a prey. So, what does it say? Hebrews 11, verse 7. Let's watch it together. This is key scripture I will build it on. Say, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet. He said, he moved with fear. That's the first thing. Noah moved with fear. That's the first thing he did. When God warned him. The second thing, say, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, walking in the fear of God and building the ark of God is going to be done by faith. That's why you cannot allow your unbelief to distract you. Because you fell yesterday. Satan will say, you want to pray again? Part of the goodness of God to us in this house is the establishment of good morning Jesus. Let's help them again. Let's practice this thing. You see, the Bible says no bones were broken. Talking about Lord Jesus Christ. Why could the Bible say that? He said when they got to him, he was dead. So they left him. They didn't break. If he was not dead, they had broken his bones. What am I saying? There are people that God has said to us that they die daily to the flesh. That's why no bones are broken. It's not going to happen. I'm not talking about physical death now. The Bible says, You crucify the flesh. They get up in the morning. They die. So when the enemy comes, it has nothing in them. So okay, no bones are going to be broken. So it's not just ordinary. So God is calling all of us also to begin to die daily to the flesh, like Paul said. That was the Noah did. So I mentioned those two things. I said two things. He said he was moved with fear and also prepared the ark. He said moved with fear and also prepared the ark. You know, we are talking today about being of a quick understanding of fear. What does that mean? Noah chose the fear of God, which is shown in his quick obedience. And in his quick obedience to the specific instructions to build the ark. When God told him that judgment was coming, because he was moved with fear. And he was quick to build the ark. You see, God gave him specific instructions. The one up as that. 30 cubits, 300, I can't remember the one for it. He gave him this. And Bible says he was moved with fear. And the second thing was that he now prepared the ark to save his household. God wants us individually and collectively to be daily moved with fear as we choose the fear of God, and then to prepare and act to the saving of our house. God knew that Joash, Noah's children didn't understand what's going on. You see, but everybody in a measure, you are a Noah, wherever God puts you. I say captains of tents, captains of 50s, of 100s, and of 1,000. Wherever you are, like Pastor Totos, wherever you are like a type of Noah. I know Noah talks about mature spiritual leadership. But in the context you know, I'm talking about being moved with fear daily, when you choose the fear of God, and then preparing the ark. What is the ark that Noah built? Using that type and shadow, he's talking about the love of God. Are you all with me? If you open to the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 6, I think it's verse 8. No, 8, 7, sorry. 8, 7. God is good. It says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. So the flood in that time could not drown the ark that Noah built, which is the love of God. See? And it says that if a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it will not utterly be content. But what I want to say is this. The floods that came in that time of Jonah could not drown the ark. So what is God telling us? In summary, as I go on, it's like be quick to begin to practice the instructions of the fear of the Lord and then the love of God. Praise the Lord. So I put something here. I said, currently the ark has 20. The ark that God has called us to build is the ark of the love of God that will preserve us from the current abounding iniquity of the end time and the judgment of God that is to come. That was in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 12. It says, because iniquity will abound. It says, the love of many works good. So the purpose of the flood of iniquity, a distraction, is so I don't prepare the ark of love. Don't let Satan take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Praise the Lord. So I said, but it is also a time of grace abounding much more to prepare and to perfect the love of God. You see, God knew what would happen in the end time. So it's where sin did abound. The book of Romans. Grace did what? Much more abound. Say, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Very important. We don't deny the abounding iniquity. We don't deny that he's trying to work against my perfecting the love of God. He's trying to work against me daily choosing the fear of God. But God has said, I'm releasing sufficient grace. That grace I've released is abounding more than the iniquity you see. So take off your eyes from what is going around. Put your eyes on the grace of God. That grace that is able to make you whom he said you would be. Praise the Lord. So I asked the question. I said, how was Noah able to build the ark of God, you know, in the middle of the evil? I put it there. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8 says, but Noah found grace. Say, but Noah found grace. Say, but Noah found grace in the eyes of. We'll find grace in Jesus' name. So what you should be looking for today is how to find grace. Because it takes the grace of God and the mercy of God to do what God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. So I put that, say, more he found grace and mercy because he was moved with fear. Even which is honesty and humility of heart. Which attracts the mercy and the grace of God. Insufficient. You see, at the same time as I'm trying to use types and shadows, I'm trying to give us the New Testament interpretation so we can understand. How come Noah found grace? Because he was moved with fear. He chose the fear of God. When God now saw that he now released sufficient grace for him to build the ark. Folks, it's not easy for you to build that kind of ark and bring up in all living things, you know, all these. Can you imagine? So you can imagine what it took Noah to get all the animals in. To persuade them. Hey, you know, like my mother said when I'm praying. He said that he did it in such a way that the elephant will not step on the ant. So that means Noah had to be watching. If anyone wants to step on Noah, say, don't do that. Are you following me? It took the grace of God for Noah to stay in that same ark. With all the dung and everything, why they are bound. That is what love of God does. Love of God does. That is what love of God does. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, I put it here. I'm trying to just stay with the scriptures. that aspect of being quick in the fear of God is what was in the life of Abraham. You see, when God told Abraham, he said, take thy son, thy only son, and take him to where I will show you. Folks, when you read it at times, think that it's just one day. No. God had called him 75. He had made a mistake. He was Ishmael and everything. But at the end of the day, God brought him to that place. 25 years after, was beyond. By that time, Isaac was old. God kept showing him his goodness. He will come and correct him. He said, work thou before me and be perfect. Yes, sir. And by the end of the day, what happened? God gave this testimony about him. And I believe that God gives something about us at the end of this old ball game. He said, now I know that you fear me. In that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. Praise the Lord. And the other example I have also is the example of the Lord Jesus himself. We quote it all in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard. Why? In that he feared. Though he were his son, yet learned the obedience to the things which he suffered. You see, when you choose the fear of God, that prayer that pastor was taught to pray, he makes sufficient grace and mercy available to you. So allow you, enable you to be obedient that day. Now the problem is this. Today we'll do it well, tomorrow we won't do it. Today we'll do well. No. God wants us to practice. Just keep practicing. Just speak. Say, I choose to fear God. Father, I choose to fear you today. How you know, those prayers you pray. So I put something there that God brought to my mind. As we do this, like I shared about in the Bible study about Amenas and Phygelos, those who are preaching heresy. We need to avoid the vine of Babylon by taking fast hold of instruction. Because there's a lot there that water down the grace of God. That's not what I'm talking about, please. I'm not saying, the Bible says, shall we receive good grace of God in vain? Shall we continue to sin? That grace may abound? God forbid. So I have these two examples. We are talking again about the fear of the Lord, that is the instruction of wisdom. Being quick to obey instruction. I have a positive example of Rechabites, Jeremiah 35. I'll give you a background. God sent a prophet, Jeremiah, to the Rechabites. Their father had told them, he said, you must not drink wine. He said, don't drink wine. So those children, they abided with it. They didn't drink wine. So God wanted to test them. So he sent Jeremiah to them. He said, take the Rechabites into the temple. The wine I'm talking about now is not the natural wine that we drink. He's talking about the spirit of Babylon. So we took them to the temple. We sat them down. I gave them bowls of wine. I said, we are drink. They said, no, we're not going to drink. He said, our father has told us that for us, we will not drink wine. We will not build houses. We will have tents. And they became a standard to the rest of Israel. Let's read from verse 13. Just in summarize, just 13, please. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive what? Instruction is your life. Are you with me? He said, hearken to my words, saith the Lord. Next verse. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine. Don't drink the wine of Babylon. Says, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I've spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. That's the present problem we have in the church. God has sent prophets, apostles to prepare the way, but they will not obey that instruction. What instruction? The instruction of the fear of the Lord and of the love of God. Are you with me? Next verse. That I are drinking wine. I have sent also unto you all my servants, prophets, rise up early, blah, blah, blah. Go to the last verse because of time. I don't want us to take too much time. Thank God for his presence. The last verse, or second last verse. Okay, let's. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he had commanded you. Mind you, we are talking about the fear of God and the love of God. That's what we're talking about. Next verse. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. God swore to him. The same thing he told David. Saying he told David. Now let's look at a negative example. Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10, read verses 1 to 3, then we read 8 to 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So you see, God didn't command them. What God commanded them, he told Aaron, and God had told them. I thought, so they did not obey what Aaron told them or what Moses told them. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Folks, they died. But I believe they are in heaven. When you see they die, don't be afraid. What God did was, he said, deliver such a one unto some, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Verse 3. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified. The version says reverence. In them that come near me, and before all the people, I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now let's go to verse 8. On this issue of not drinking the wine of Babylon. It's the same discourse. So God now began to tell them. He said, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, because he had Eleazar and one other boy. Are you getting me? He had four children. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go up into the tabernacle of a congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You see, it's not talking about natural wine here. It's this wine we use for communion. No? So get the interpretation right. It's good to rightly divide the word. You see, the sons of Jonadab, a tribe there, they refused to drink the wine of Babylon. They refused. Said, our father has told us that we will not drink. The only way you are not going to drink is when you choose the fear of God and the perfect love of God. That's the only way you are not going to drink it. But here you find another set of people. Why would God say this after his children died? Same discord. He said they fell and they died. They got out and said, look, I'm warning you. Anytime you come to this place, don't drink wine. No. Probably those guys were drunk that day. That's why God said it too. The same discord. Same Leviticus chapter 10. So why should we have a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord? I have about 8 points here. I'm going to rush through it. I just rushed because of time. We need to practice a quick understanding of the fear of God in order to hasten his coming to the church in glory and in power. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Bible says that, and the spirit and the bride say, come. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 said that, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, as we reverence God and fear him, which is the obedience to his instructions, basically instruction to choose the fear of God and the love of God, you will find that what will happen? It will come quickly. Come quickly, we are first in his temple, in perfection and glory. It's the reason why we don't see much of the presence of God or that we desire to see. He says something in the book of John. He says, if you keep my commandment, I and my Father will make my abode with you. You see, he wants to call us into the mount like he did Moses. Even though you may be afraid, don't be afraid. You just keep those commandments. As you do it, mind you, Moses was not even born again. He had a sin nature in his spirit, soul, and body. And yet God called him. That's why he covered him. Praise the Lord. So the second point I have here is the stability in this time of shaking. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. That's it. It says, behold, I will shake them on the earth, you know, and sea and dry land, you know, and desire upon nations are come. But what I want to see is Isaiah 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33, verse 6. What does it say? 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, the strength of salvation and the fear of the Lord your treasure. This should be your treasure. No, Master said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Your treasure is the fear of the Lord in this day. Your treasure is the fear of the Lord in this day. He said that the fear of the Lord is treasure. So where is your heart? Is your heart in trying to obey God? Being a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Look. Okay. The third point I have here is this. That his glory may dwell in our land. Say that his glory may dwell in Psalm 85 verse 9. Psalm 85 verse 9. What does it say? Psalm 85 verse 9. Surely, his salvation is near them that fear. You see, for you to have the total salvation, spiritual and body, you need to walk daily in the fear of God. So it is when that, it is salvation must first of all come to them that fear him, before his glory can dwell in his land. So if we don't see the glory, then we have not feared God enough. I would say, surely salvation is now to them that fear him. That what is glory may dwell in our land. So if you don't see the glory in our land, like Pastor said, let us increase in the fear of God. The manifestation of the glory of God is not dependent on the evil that is taking place. It's not dependent on the kidnapping, on the armed banditry. It is dependent on you and I to walk in a greater degree of the fear of the Lord daily, so that the salvation will come to Zion and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Then this salvation, when it comes, the glory will automatically appear. It's not dependent on what is going on. Read Matthew 24. It's not dependent on what people are doing in the world. Let's read a scripture that comes to my 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In Amplified Bible, let me just mention it. It's not dependent on them. God's not relying on them. He's relying on you and I to daily choose the fear of God, to be quick in the fear of the Lord. Then salvation will come to us, and then automatically we will download the glory. You see, if there's anything I appreciate so much in this house, is the knowledge of the word that has been taught to us. You see, when you hear the fear of God, you'll be afraid. There's different aspects, but the pastor and mom, they broke it down. He said, do this one daily. I keep on saying that is different between a consultant and a general practitioner. You go and see a secular doctor, maybe he has a clinic. What's wrong with you? Sorry, how is the temperature? Okay, take Panadol, take Nivacuil. Bros, when you go to a consultant, when he takes your time to, okay, that will not be your portion. You say, this sounds like coronavirus. That's the difference. That's the difference, so. Between the apostolic and the prophetic ministries, and a regular teacher, and a pastor, they can't give you distilled instruction. A doctor will say, take one tablet twice daily, or take two in the morning, two in the afternoon, two. So you're now wondering, whether I should take one, whether I should take two. Why? That they've broken it down. The fear of God and love of God. So when you look at the life of Noah, that was a type and a shadow. Noah was moved with fear. He chose the fear of God. He built the ark that the flood could not drown, which is the love of God. See, it's so easy. If only we will obey. So you're not wondering what it is. Let's keep reading. The next nav is point number 4. Being a quick understanding of the fear of God. Say, to live long in order to fulfill our destiny. Say, to live long in order to fulfill our prophetic destiny. Proverbs 10:27. What does it say? The fear of the Lord prolongeth peace, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, the wicked is not those that are drinking beer. The wicked is the person that casts instructions behind him. I don't have time to read the book of Psalms. So, don't let us cast instructions behind us. Let's do these things. His commandments are not grievous. Point number 5. The fear of the Lord brings knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and instruction. Psalms 111:10. Psalms 111:10. What does it say? Psalm 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good word, understanding, have all they that do his commandments, his praise, enjoy forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When pastor preaches, mommy shares, and you don't see it, go and check on level of your fear of the Lord. Point number 6. It gives you divine direction and quick answers to prayers. We already read Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. It was holding that he feared. But let us look at Psalm 25 verse 12. Psalm 25 verse 12. What does it say? What man, say what man, is he that feared the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way I shall choose. So if you don't know what to do, keep praying for the fear of the Lord. It will show you the way you will choose. Verse 7, it gives us access to the secrets and the mysteries of God and creation. Psalm 25 verse 14. What does it say? It says, what man? 14. Say the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You see, everything that you hear, perfection, if you don't understand it, increase your fear of the Lord. He said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will look at you. Yes, this one fears me. Because God delights to fellowship. That's why he called Moses. Moses, don't be afraid. Come. And they began to show him how to build the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. I believe we have seen the importance of the fear of the Lord. Point number 8, it enables us to depart from evil. See, it enables us to depart from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. What does it say? But thy mercy and truth, iniquity is what? Purged. Yeah, we're talking about iniquity in the morning. You can't purge it too by your own making. Paul says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his will. So his iniquity is abounding. There is iniquity in your sin nature. He said, but it's going to take the mercy of God and truth of God by which you can purge iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, there are some temptations that when they come, you are not going to remember to bind the devil. Believe me. When they hit you, probably you are not watching and praying. The last thing that will come to your mind is binding the devil. What will deliver you is the fear of God, like he did for Joseph. When his master's wife held on to him and was shouting, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me. And I've had temptations that are severe to the flesh. The temptation of immorality. That's why it's so rampant in the world today. And the devil have told Joseph, just do it, nobody will know. You know that Potiphera, I said that is her name. You will tell a prophet now and they will give you a car. They will buy this fan, we'll promote you. That's what was going on in Joseph's mind. He didn't say he wasn't tempted though. He said he left his clothes and he fled from the woman. He said, how can I do this thing? I sinned against God. He didn't say against Potiphar. So how can I do this thing and sin against? That is the difference between Joseph and David. Folks, every morning that the portal is open to pray, good morning, just please pray. Oh. There is so much going on. The Bible says that when king ought to go to battle, David tarried still. He was enjoying. Said he sent Joab, you go and take care of the battle. It was in that time that the temptation came that led him to sleep with another man's wife and kill the husband. You know why I know he has dropped in the fear of God? Because he wasn't doing the battle prayer as he ought to. God says, pray one hour a day. What did he call the praying one hour a day? I said, I don't have to pray one hour a day. Now, I'm not saying if you are newly born again, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 15, like Pastor, that's what I'm saying. But by reason of time, you have to do one hour a day. Couldn't you watch it being one hour? You know when he spoke to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, it was only three that he called aside to pray one hour a day, so to speak. Couldn't you watch one hour? The others, he knew that they couldn't do it, so he separated them. Meanwhile, Judas had gone outside. God understands, because if you are newly born again, I'm not saying don't feel condemned, I mispraise him. No. You see, start where you are. If you are among the, I think it was eight that was outside, I get him, just stay there. He will bring you in with time. But you see, if you are Peter, James, and John, don't miss battle prayer every morning. That's what David did. He had dropped, because he had started missing his prayer life. It had started dipping. Started dropping. I didn't take it to himself. After a long time, he lost the fear of God. He took another man's wife and he killed him. How do I know? Let's look at what Abraham said when Abimelech took his wife. Genesis chapter Genesis 20, 11. What did Abraham say? And Abraham said, let's look at it. And Abraham said, surely, the fear of God is not in this place. And they will what? Slay me for my wife's sake. Exactly what David did. Can you link those scriptures? When Abimelech was going to take Sarah, he forced Abraham to lie. Why? I'm talking about a quick understanding. When Abraham got to die, he said, I want people who want to bury alone. You're not afraid, though. They will kill me and take my wife. Why? Because they did not fear God. So why did David take Uriah's wife and kill Uriah? He had dropped in the fear of God because he was no longer doing battle prayer as ought to. Folks, let me tell you something. If you have been praying 1 hour in the spirit, don't drop. Don't drop in your prayer life. Don't let it deep. Don't miss the prayer every morning. For leaders, you'll be doing 2 hours straight. Good morning, Jesus. 1 hour. Second phase, do it. Then you now do what Joshua did. Spend more time in prayer. Don't let your prayer life drop. It's dangerous. Don't let it drop. It is dangerous. Couldn't you watch me for 1 hour?
Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Put it in the book of Luke. Let's talk about Peter for a few minutes. When I was reading about Peter, he said, Simon, Simon. Hey, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Put in the Bible. I think it's in the book of Luke. I can't remember the exact verse. It just comes to me. Put in Luke. In the say, where it says Simon, Simon. I thought it was only Peter. I was talking to, please let me find it. Somebody put it on the board. He said, and the Lord said, in Amplified. You know, here, King James just says it's Simon. So he said, it's only Peter. All the other ones, we are okay. He said, Simon, Simon, Peter. He said, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you, be given to him out of the power and the keeping of God. As he might sift you, all of you, like rain. Not only Peter. The Bible says that the fire shall try every man's work. Of what sort is this? So when we read, that's only for leadership. It's Simon, Simon, not Simon. So all of you, mind you, at that time, there were only 3 years in the Lord. But you know what made the difference? They were under a perfect covering. Meaning that the measure of grace and mercy that they need to do it was available. He didn't say, and I've rebuked the devil on your behalf so that he will not touch you. No. He said, but I've prayed for you that when you are converted, your faith. So you see, God is allowing a sifting to come. There's a sifting going on. Folks, I know there was a day I was praying and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I shake for two reasons. Folks, there's a shaking going on. You see, the end point of a shaking is to get the love of God perfected. So when the shaking is going on, understand. I say, the sons of Israel had understanding of times. I say, what is Israel to do? What is Israel to do? Increase your prayer life or increase the fear of God, the good love of God. He told me, I shake for two reasons. And he quoted scripture to me. He spoke to me about Simon, Simon. What the first scripture? He said, I shake to remove. Say, I shake to remove. And I shake to join together. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, yet once, it's a little while. I shake the heavens and the earth. He says that the things that are shaking might be removed. There's a shaking going on. And he now quoted Ezekiel 37 to me. He said, when I was prophesied, there was a great shaking and bone came to his bone. You see, you can't judge and say this one has been shaking off. You can't judge. Don't judge any man. Don't judge any man's servant. You see, because the end point of that shake, he said, I will remove what can be shaken. The only thing that cannot be shaken, folks, is the love of God. The only thing that cannot be shaken in this day is how much of the love of God you are perfecting. Every other thing will be shaken and removed. Or anything you do that is not based on the love of God. Or the principles of love. God told me some days ago, he said, look, owe no man nothing except to love him. He said, how do you do that? What I owe you, Pastor Olokwade, is to love you. Pastor Okori is to love you. What I owe you is to love you, nothing more. I said, how do you do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. What I owe you is to endure long, to be patient and kind, to be long-suffering, to take into account the evil you do to me, and to bypass the silver drone. That's what I owe you. That's what you owe me. That's what we owe each other. He told me, that's what you owe every Christian. That's why we wash feet. That's the debt I owe you. So, back to what I was saying. So, God is shaking everything that can ever be shakeable. I'm telling you. He's shaking everything. No? You see, it was God that decided where they would take the ark. See? David decided that was going to carry the ark on the Philistine's cart. God did not talk. Because he knew more. But God decided the way they would take. Like he decided the way they would take in the wilderness. You don't get what I'm saying. David made a mistake. By reason of time, he should have known. I was a priest that was supposed to carry the ark. So he calls the people, the big men in Israel. They are going to bring out the ark of God. God didn't talk. So he said, oh, yeah, carry it. Okay. And I said, okay. Pass through this way. Nacon threshing floor. When they brought the ark and got to the construction floor, something happened suddenly. The oxen stumbled. Uzziah, whose man's strength, touched it and he died. The strength of man is bound to fail
in this day. Don't see Zoya just a prayer. I'm not saying people will die. No. You see, all the gra-gra, all the, I will do it. I've done it before. It's going to die. The strength of man will fail. The Bible says that in the day that King Uzziah died, Uzziah is a type of flesh. Until he died, Isaiah could not see the Lord. And the time is, Uzziah was one that was standing and hindering Isaiah from seeing the Lord high and lifted up. So, what are we saying? That was a problem that, David had. Then the last point I have, I already mentioned about David. Now, there's an order. Say, there's an order. You know, David said, because we sought not the Lord after due order. What is the order? You can't love God unless you first fear him. Say, I cannot love God. Now, the fear we're talking about is reverential awe of his creation that you can see how you have been wonderfully, fearful and wonderfully made. The pastor also mentioned Israel. You need to meditate on them. And then being quick to obey his instructions, which are not grievous. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. This is the order. Let's read it. And now, Israel, talking about the old church. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Look, Papa Ralph said, don't be baking apple pie. And I get to God says, I didn't tell you to bake apple pie. Say, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Number one, but to what? Screaming, but to what? But to what? Fear him. And to serve, fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, and the second thing, and to love him. Before you can now serve him. Fear, love, serve. Fear, love, serve. Say, fear, love, serve. That's it. That's the order. You choose the fear of God daily. You pray the commandment of law. Father, fill me with love, joy, peace, long suffering. I love my brain as Christ loves the church. Then when you have done that, you cannot serve God in the place of prayer with your spirit. That's what happened. Good morning, Jesus. The fear of God, the love of God, they will not go to serve God with our spirit. Paul said, I thank my good morning, I serve daily praying for you. If you wake up in the morning, I don't put the armor of love. I say, I want you. You don't choose the fear of God. You don't choose the love of God. And I go and serve him. He may not be accepted. I'm not God. Now, I'm rounding up. The man, Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, Solomon had misbehaved. He had done every terrible thing he could do in life. Married a thousand women. He now came to me the last days of his life. In the second last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let's read together. When you understand this, you will prioritize what you have been taught. You will not allow anything to take you away from the fear of Lord and the love of God. You will not allow the distractions in this time of Noah. You will not allow them to take you away so that you don't pray again. So what happened to David will not happen to you. Mind you, we have the tabernacle of David. So we are subject to like temptations. But trust that God will devour us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Say, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's your calling, in summary. Say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion. This was the end of Solomon's life. I said, look, fear God, and do his commandment. What is the fear of the Lord? I already mentioned it. Obedience, being quick to obey his instruction. What is his commandment? He said, I give you another command I give unto you. I love wonder as I have loved you. As I begin to round up, let me explain, as Pastor has explained to us before we pray. How do we do this? I've already talked about this. Say, we daily choose self, we daily judge ourselves when we wake up. Say, we daily judge ourselves when we wake up. You see, when you wake up, Pastor said in the last message this year, judge yourself. Don't be proud. Say, I won't judge myself. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, say, because you don't judge yourself, you are judged. God put the ball in your court, or you are judge yourself. And it's been so simple. They've made it user-friendly. Just take those, Lord, I judge myself and I condemn all of my wicked attitudes and acts of permission and commission. I receive mercy unto all, I do sort my own to repent and faithful, receiving wisdom and instruction, having victory and triumph over judgment. Say, because you don't judge yourself, you judge. Say, but when you are judged, you are chasing the Lord. Say, I have not condemned the world. Which means if you examine and judge yourself, you're not going to be weak, Oh, falling sick and not driving him. Jonah said, the fear of the Lord is what? Is prolonged days. Say, I will judge myself. That first thing, and set your will. The second thing you do, I've been talking about, you choose the fear of God. If you don't choose to fear God, you'll not be moved with the fear of God. If you don't choose the fear of God, that fear will not move you there because you have not chosen it. And then you continue in the fear of the Lord all day long. Say, you continue in the fear of the Lord. So you don't say, I chose the fear of God now, so that's the end. Till tomorrow. No. Proverbs 23, verse 27 says, it says, be not envious of the wicked, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Are you with me? Proverbs 23, verse 27 says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Proverbs 1:29 says that because they did not choose the fear of God, you know, he said that for their calamity will come upon them. That's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. But Proverbs 23:27 puts it there. I'm trying to say we don't just choose the fear of God, and then when we go, I'll leave it back in the house. Okay, I'll pick it tomorrow when they're paying good money. Just no. He says, please read Proverbs 23:27. I want to see something. 23:27. Proverbs 23:27. What it says is this. Okay. Oh no, sorry. There's a scripture that says, it says that envy not the wicked, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. It's not that scripture. Sorry. If you find them, put it on the board. God wants us to be in the fear of the Lord all day long. So when you leave the house, you continue in the fear of the Lord all the time. Find it. It's in Proverbs. Sorry, I missed the scripture there. So I said daily self-judgment. I said daily choosing the fear of the Lord and continue the fear of the Lord all day long. Then the third thing is this: battle prayer. See, battle prayer. Battle prayer. What? 23:17. Let's just read it for emphasis. It says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord only in the morning. During good morning, Jesus. 3 hours after prayer. All day long. So you continue. What does that mean? You keep on keeping the instructions of perfecting the love of God. So don't just say, I've done it. No. You continue. Number three, battle prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. The spoken said, he was holding that he feared. Though were his son. Yet he learned to obey. That word learned there means he practiced obedience by the things which he suffered. What did he suffer? Self-denial. So who in the days of his flesh? When I offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears, until that was able to save him for death, and it was hard in that he chose the fear of God. Though he was his son, yet learned the obedience by suffering self-denial. He carried his cross daily. He practiced obedience. But you see, the key is this. It is the fear of God that the first of all chose, which is honesty and liberty of heart, that released sufficient mercy and grace to be obedient that day. But the fear of the Lord is honesty and liberty of heart. So he always receives sufficient mercy and grace that help him to obey God and to deny his flesh daily. Then number four, keeping the commandment of love by washing of feet at least 4 times daily at every opportunity and in every temptation, in that order. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, as we begin to close. We're going to stop now. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4. This is the commandment. We say, fear God and keep his commandment. The commandment is love. What does it say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Next verse. What is it? And thou shalt do what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Next verse. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Next verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when they sit down, one, when they are in the house, two, when they walk by the way, three, and when they lie down, and when they rise up, 4 times. But he said, teach your children. Say, teach your children. Teach your children to fear God. Don't say they are too small to choose the fear of God. We can teach children, spiritual and physical, to fear God. There's a scripture, in the book of Psalm 34. He said, come ye children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You find it, put it on the board. Teach your children. Oh. Teach your children. Let me find it. It's in the book of, Psalm 34. He said, come. Ye children, hearken unto me, and I will what? teach you the fear of the Lord. So let us teach our children, spiritual and physical, to fear the Lord. So what happened to Nadab and Abihu will not happen to us in Jesus' name. What is the fear of the Lord? It begins to next verse. Next verse, please. What man is it that desired life, but then get life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Next verse. Keep thy tongue. Say, keep thy tongue from evil. And that this one speaking, God. Next verse. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If they take your cloak, let them have your clothes also. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the Son of God. It's very important what I've just said. So, how do we do this? Pastor has taught us. We use those, are you washing off? You know how to wash. We use the blood, the word, and the spirit. But if a man sees brother's sin, it's your house for life. That's the first part of God. Luke 21:36 says, watch it therefore and pray always. By the time you're doing it at least four times, in every opportunity and every temptation, you begin to do it always. Are you following me? And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. When the master was talking, indeed, we are the day of judgment, but it's not a time to be afraid. That's why he said, because once you can perfect the love of God, God will help us. Said, hearing is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Say, boldness. It is arrogance. Who? In the day of judgment, time of now. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is love there, we too are here, perfecting the love of God. One last scripture before pray. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. And I will read. This is where we are now. This is what God wants us to do. Grace is abounding. Where sin did abound, grace did not much abound. Next verse 35. Say, let your loins, tell your neighbor, say, let your loins be gathered about, and your light burning. Next verse. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, that are waiting for, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, when he knocketh, they shall open unto him immediately. Not like Laodicean church or that church. That means they've already closed the door. Next verse. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, he is talking about leadership, but also affects everybody, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall guard himself and make them to sit down to meat. I will come forth and serve them. He give them the same measure of spirit as upon him. We give it to them. Next verse. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And speaking to the body of Christ. Next verse. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what are the thief will come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Next verse. Be ye therefore ready together. Be ye therefore ready. Also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Let's stand up to pray. All my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All my life you have been so, oh, good. Let's all sing. Let's worship the Lord. Please, let's worship the Lord. It's a message of hope and encouragement.
I will sing of the good.
Let's worship the Lord. Please, start from the beginning. Let's sing together. Please put the word on the board. Let's raise up our voices unto the Lord.
For your mercy never fails me.
We are not consumed by his mercies, folks.
In all my days I have been held in your hand.
It's one holding us all.
From the moment that I wake up,
yes, Father,
until I lay my head, I will sing of a good man.
Oh
God,
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
Yes, Lord.
You have led me through the fire.
That is 2021 for you. But it's bringing us to a large place.
You are close like no other.
I've known you as a father.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend.
Not your weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So will I glory in my infirmities. But when I am weak because of a sin nature, then am I strong. For his grace will run a full course in and through me. Sing, folks. Sing in the face of adversity. Sing in the face of betrayal. Sing. Paul says, even though the fig tree shall not blossom, and that the fruit bear any fruit in the vine, say yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make our feet in 20 verses like hinds' feet. This is what the Lord dropped on me. It's not a new word, but wants us to begin to sing, begin to say what is not yet, as though we are. Like Abraham, and he will become. Say, Abraham, consider not his body that was dead, and the deadness of Pharaoh. You see, God wants to do something he has never done before. He wants to do something that looks impossible in our midst. He wants to do something that to manifest his goodness. Many don't believe that God is love. He said, if you have been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall Heavenly Father ask them in Luke that ask for the Holy Ghost? Let's be without measure. He said, if you, he said, which one of you are speaking by the Spirit of the Lord? I'm speaking today by the Spirit of the Lord. Never experienced this before. Must understand. When you understand his goodness, then you will fear him. There is forgiveness, the Bible says. We did that, that must be feared. So, which one of you shall ask his father for bread and give him a stone? Which one asks for an egg and give him a scorpion? And one more thing he asked for. He said, if you then been evil, that is what makes you evil, is not so much as what you do, but the sin nature in you. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall I ever give what? The Holy Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit without measure. Folks, we're not talking about cars, children, it's part of it. But this is the real Makwa, the fullness of the Spirit of God. And he's going to give it to us because of his goodness. He's going to give it to us because of his goodness. Let me read that scripture to you. You understand when I read it. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that is not travailed with child. For more are the children of desolate and the children of the married wives, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt, scripture, Pastor Christ, break forth on the right hand and the left. And thy seed, say thy seed, thy seed, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. That seed that is recalcitrant, that seed that is disobedient, God said, begin to sing about them. Don't say what Satan is saying about them. Say what God has said. Isaiah 59, he said, for this is my covenant with you. Don't repeat Satan's covenant. Say, the word that I've put in your mouth and my spirit that is upon you, you make sure. They may not do it, but you make sure that it does not depart from your mouth. Then after, as you take fear of the Lord, it does not depart from the mouth of your seed whatever I see, it's it. Or the third and fourth generation, then he links it. Bible was not written in chapter and verses, but Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine! Well, light has come. And glory of the Lord is risen upon him. Says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shall thou be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, but thou shalt forget. See, thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. How many people have seen this a reproach? All those things that pull you down. Say, don't worry. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So that flesh that is lost now by the spirit will pour his spirit upon it. The same Peter that denied Jesus Christ. Same Peter that stood for 5,000 people. That this is that. We have come to a season of this is that. We have come to a season of this is that. And the prophet spoke of old. I say, for thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the old earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou was refused, said the Lord. For a moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies, say, with great mercies, I will gather thee. All my life, once again, for prayer. You see, now before we sing, it's so easy to receive healing. I don't care whether you have cancer. I don't care whatever they have said is afflicting you. When you know that you know that you know that God loves you, and he says, which one of you, if, let me give you an example, you are sick and you are afraid that God will heal you, why are you afraid? I want us to pray for healing before we pray to round up, because I can sense the unction of God to heal people today. He said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them for their destructions. If you are sick, will not be sick, and you are afraid that God doesn't want to heal you, and then you go to the doctor and they give you medication and you are healed, are you saying that the doctor is better than God? That's what you are saying. If you don't believe God loves you, you can practice it. If you then been evil, not to give good gifts unto your children. What is a good gift? Healing is a good gift. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What is that good? Healing. Say healing.
Healing.
Healing. Oh, the oppressed of the devil. Follow me. God was sharing some things with me. I just mentioned, just coming to me. Proverbs chapter 3. It says, 27 or so. It says, we told not good from dead whom it is you. Where is the power of your hand to give it? What is that good? Healing is the children's bread. Healing. We do not good from them to whom it is due. Why is it the power of their hands to do it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all? Oh. He didn't say some. I don't care. The greatest, you see, now I need to know how to walk in our love. The only sin, listen to me, that cannot be forgiven is when you deny Christ. He said, if you see your brother sin, a sin not unto death, ask for life. I will give him life unto them that sin not unto death. Has anybody here committed a sin unto death? So why can't you be healed? We're going to pray for our healing and deliverance. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord spoke to me. He said, when they preached the word, he confirmed it with signs following. But one condition that we need to act on is this. You must forgive people that offended you. You must forgive those that have offended you. You can block your healing. So when you stand praying, forgive. Mark 11:25. So when you stand, we're about to pray. Before we pray, begin to forgive those that offended you. Anybody that you hide, whatever. I say, Mark, say, and when you stand, pray. We're about to pray. Forgive if you have hurt against any. That of your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. That is foundation of Mark 11:23-24. You cannot speak to the mountain of sickness. Speak to the mountain of healing. put it at the back of your mind. If you then be evil, not to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Your own father, give good gifts. He said, we told him that I was praying, Jeje, and God gave him Proverbs 23. He said, we told not good. I will explain it to you background. From then to whom it is to you, when is the power of your hand to do it? Next verse. Please put it in. How to was this break out of time? Proverbs 3:23 or 27. He said, we told not good. He spoke to me. You see, because we don't know God, through our unbelief, said they could not enter the land because of unbelief. He said, we told not good from then to whom it is due. When is the power of thy hand to do it? Next verse. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give when thou hast it by thee. He said, if I tell you not to withhold good from them to whom it is due, do you think I withhold healing from you? That is very cool. Don't you see what I saw? He's telling us, yo ye, don't withhold good from them to whom it is good. Good now has been healing, that is the children's bread. He said, so if you don't, I say, don't withhold, do you think I withhold healing from you? God is not withholding healing, it's your unforgiveness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come today. Let's first pray for healing, for these unction lifts. Ask for forgiveness for ourselves and whoever has offended you, whatever has been done. Ask for God. Release them. Like mommy will pray. He said, forgiveness. Forgive. Don't hold any grudge. Don't hold back forgiveness. Freely you have received forgiveness from Christ. Freely give. Having forgiven them, I'm going to pray what the scripture says. Say, Lord, you see, whatever the sickness is, be bold to receive healing. Whatever it is, be bold. It's your father and loves you. After this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 12 years or so, be set free. What I told them. But you guys, somebody has been bound here all these years, and you are saying there should not be eaten on the Sabbath day. What nonsense! Try to make it very simple. We're going to pray for Psalm 103, verse 3. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and I receive a fresh cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. As the word says in Mark 11:25, when we stand praying, forgive. Father, I come to forgive anyone that has offended and hurt me. I also forgive myself for my mistakes that I've done. I thank you because your word says that if we then be evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things, healing in particular at this time, to them that ask Him. I thank because your word says, it was Psalm 103, verse 3. Woo! Forgive it! Personality is all my iniquities. Who healeth all my diseases? So, Father, I thank you for forgiving my sins, all my iniquities. I receive by faith healing for all my diseases. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's give thanks to the Spirit. Oh, Father, thank you. You are healed, folks. He sent His word and He healed them. He sent His word and He healed them. I delivered them from their destructions. Listen to me. They asked Him. They said, who gave you power to forgive sins? You know what He said? He said that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Take up your bed and walk. Begin to walk. If you believe He has forgiven your sins, you are healed. How's the Bible saying? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's now pray to set our wills. Lord, have mercy on us. So we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. I set my will and I determine to be of quick understanding in the reverence and fear of God, in the things of God, and to quickly obey His instructions, especially to perfect His love, use the word, using the blood, the word and the spirit, knowing the certainty of His judgment and chastening when I disobey, and the security of His mercy when I obey. Of the goodness of God. Thank you, Father, for goodness. Please keep singing it. If you keep singing it, please keep singing it. If you are here today for the very first time,
You think you came here, but it was God that brought you here. Like he brought Jacob to that certain place when the sun had set upon him. I want you to just want to be a blessing to you. That the same joy, the same mercy of God, you can sense in the atmosphere. You can take it home with you. So if you are here for the very first time, please raise up your hands. Please don't be shy. God loves you. He died for your sins. Please lift up your hands if you are here for the very first time. Ushers, please let me look at them if they are around. Anybody coming here for the very first time, please lift up your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. If you lift up your hands, please come to the front quickly. We want to bless you. Just want to be a blessing. This is a ministry of reconciliation. The Christ was in God, reconciling the world of himself. Please come. Please come. I don't care the sin you have committed. You can help Paul. Saul, who became Paul, he can help you. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. If you backslid him, please come. If you backslid him, please come. Don't be afraid. Come, 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 come. His patience is waiting for you. Think about his goodness. All these years you've not known me. From your mother's womb, he has been faithful. You are here today because your own appointed time to meet with your Savior. I'm going to show you his goodness. Thank you. Please push us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Please congregate, blink quietly in the spirit. On behalf of the Fathers of the House, Pastor Olivia and Master Johnson, I welcome you. I'm sure you have been blessed today. Haven't you been blessed? That is God for you. He's not willing that any should perish. So I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. But eventually you are not born again. If you've been born again, it doesn't matter. It's God's going to reconfirm what you've done before. Are you with me? So I want to lead in a simple prayer. And God will give you what he has given everybody standing there, his eternal life. And become the Son of God. Let's bow down to pray. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, say after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. I come today and I recognize that I have been a sinner. Not because of what I have done, but because of a nature that I inherited from Adam and Eve. But I no longer wish to continue as a sinner today. I thank you for sending Lord Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I believe that he died for my sins. He went to hell for the punishment of my sins. And you raised him up on the third day for my justification. I accept him now as my Lord and Savior. And I receive by faith eternal life into my spirit. I thank you that I'm born again. I am your child. I will no longer live a habitual life of sin. But if I sin, I will quickly confess my sins and continue in this way of righteousness. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. I want you to look at me just for a second. You see, it's like when a woman gets pregnant. She may not even know. But see, the seed of the word of God, that incorruptible seed has implanted in your spirit today. So you now need to nurture it. When one gets pregnant, they has to start eating certain things. It doesn't just play out anyhow. So also, you are carrying the Christ life, the Christ child, like Mary. So I'm encouraging you, as God helps you, to join us here, you know, for fellowship, for prayer, you know, also for all our services, so that God can help you. So, through the teaching of the fathers, they can help nurture that baby so that you don't lose it. We'll not lose it in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for coming. God loves you. Please just turn around. And there's a brother with his hand raised up over there. Please turn around. They will help you and then give you further literature that will help you to stand. Thank you so much. Please, let's clap for them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Of the goodness of God. I will see.
goodness of God.
We thank you so very much for your mercies, your goodness poured out upon this assembly today. What a great privilege, Lord, to be in this place. The place is none other than the house of God. Thank you for your angels ascending and descending. Thank you for your angels sent to bring your word today. Thank you, Lord God, for fulfillment of your promise to us, that not one bone shall be broken among us. We're so grateful, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your help, and under the covering of the fathers. Thank you for all you have done here today. We return to you glory, worship, and honor and praise in the name of Jesus. And so under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, and under the covering of the fathers, we declare, say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. Lord our God, give us peace. God makes his head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in everything that we set our hands upon to do. And we are at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies all of us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. So the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, Elisha, of Daniel, Esther, Paul, John, and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Just